So welcome to the live Q&A with JJ and myself. We are going to kick it off with a couple questions that we received prior to the call. And if you're joining us live, after we answer a couple questions, we will have Leilani, our operator, come on, and you can listen to her directions and get into the queue to ask a question. So, JJ, welcome.
Thank you.
And so we'll just dive right in. The first one, I was wondering if you had any recipes for face cleansing masks or can suggest what foods are good for clear skin and to also stimulate hair growth. Brittany.
I'm testing out a new product for hair growth right now.
Oh, really?
Yes. Like, okay, let me look. Wait, hold on. It's sitting over here. Yeah, this company apparently is crushing it. Okay, where is it? You know, and I'm in this hotel, so I've got, like, stuff together. Okay, so you can actually hear the boxes. See, this is real world right now. It is called, Hair Volume. Hair Volume, New Nordic Hair Volume. And this stuff has been selling like crazy anyway. It's got in it, I mean, it's got, what is in it that's, oh, horsetail, methionine, cysteine, zinc, copper, apple extract. Anyway, apparently it's got massive great reviews on it. So that's what I've been testing, is that. As far as face cleansing masks, no, sorry, they're not my thing. I buy them at the store. I'm like, you're looking at someone who doesn't even like to cook, much less now. I'm not going to start making my own personal care stuff, so I'm like a total baby about it. But I do use something amazing called Purigenix, and P-U-R-I-G-E-N-I-X. And you have not met Dr. Suzanne Bennett yet. I know that your hubby has. She is
this
gorgeous Korean gal buddy of mine, and she brought this from Korea, this collagen mask, and it is the most. I'm doing one tonight, as a matter of fact. Whenever I'm doing TV, I make sure I do it. Love.
Mm-hmm.
So amazing. I mean, incredible for skin brightening and tightening and all that. And then, as far as clear skin goes, okay, first off, the worst thing for skin is dairy, and animal products that where they've, like, kicked them in with extra hormones, and high glycemic load foods. So if you want to get zits, eat sugar, eat, you know, lots of corn-fed beef burgers that, and then have, you know, put cheese on them. So have a burger. So those are the things that really are problematic, dairy being the worst. And poor digestion. So if your stomach acid is high, low, and you can't digest your protein well, that is an aggravator for acne and rosacea. So, in fact, that was one of the ones for me. So those are the things I would tell you about that are really critical. And in terms of having good skin, hair, and nails, obviously B vitamins are big. Some things like what I talked about in that product, like horsetail, are important. But what I find that's really important that we tend to discount is, again, the ability to digest your protein. You know, your protein are the building blocks for everything. And if you're not breaking down your protein well, then you don't have what you need to make good hair, skin, and nails. So very critical that you are digesting well, which means don't go slogging down a ton of water with your meals. Take time to eat. And for most people, they do so much better with digestive enzymes, either BioGest or plant enzymes, or if it's really protein-specific, I do betaine with pepsin. So did I just, like, throw something that's now not on your cart? I always do.
No, yeah, I know, which we always have to scramble and put it in. No, which is completely fine, especially if you did order the option 3, you would have that BioGest. And then the other two.
BioGest is the good, comprehensive, usually covers all the bases. And I just find, you know, I kind of got off with the whole Grant in the hospital thing. I can't believe it's been over 6 weeks now, but I kind of got off my enzymes. I didn't get off anything else because people literally walked into the hospital with supplements to lower cortisol. Here you go.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, when your friends are all doctors and nutritionists, the stuff you get. But
right.
I had a couple weeks where I just was like lost in space on my enzymes. What a difference. Wowie, wowie. So
really?
Because I never try. I have enzymes stashed everywhere. And mm-hmm. I noticed such a difference when I didn't have them. Yeah, because, well, it was interesting because, you know, with stress, my stomach acid, I started getting heartburn. And the minute I started taking my enzymes again, it all was like, okay, it's good. Better.
So it is an indicator of heartburn burping frequently?
That can be an indicator of poor digestion, yeah. I mean,
okay.
When I have someone burping, I'm always going to try digestive enzymes. If they feel full after they eat and they just, like, for, you know, they just feel that uncomfortable fullness is not going away, enzymes, acne, rosacea, enzymes, heartburn, unless you have ulcers. If you have a history of ulcers, different deal. But for so many people, like, it was interesting. I know all the signs of stress. So, like, as this whole
right.
thing was hitting for me, I'm like going, crap.
Right.
There they all
right.
are. And one of them was heartburn. And it wasn't because my stomach acid was too high. It was too low. And so, you know, people were bringing me all this fabulous stuff, and I was eating it, and then it wasn't going anywhere. And so I, the minute I got my enzymes back together again, I was fine. So.
Fantastic. So, Leilani, do we have any live callers that would like to ask a question, or if not, we can go to the next set?
Not at this time. Again, if you have a question, please press star zero.
I just realized we hadn't told our live listeners how to ask a question.
Oh, yeah.
So you can just
hey,
press star zero. I know. Our next set of questions is three questions in a row, so we'll just answer one, and then if you have a live question, we'll come back. This is from Nancy. I've tried repeatedly to find So Delicious in my area. The stores that are listed on their website for my area don't carry it anymore. Oh, Nancy, I'm sorry. That's really a bummer.
I know. I was depressed hearing that.
Yeah. I found one that has ice cream, that has the ice cream and the yogurt in one place that can order it for me if I take a case. I'm wondering if there's something superior about So Delicious. If so, is the shelf-stable product superior enough to warrant getting a case of that as opposed to a fresh, non-shelf-stable carton of another brand?
You know, I think the reason that I like So Delicious so much is because I know the people and I just love them. So,
right. They're great.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, we both got to hang out with them at Expo West and we're, you know, we became pals and we just, that's so, you know, I don't think it's like magic. So you could use, you know, another brand. I like the company philosophy, and that's probably the other part is that, you know, they don't sell other things like soy. They're like coconut people, and they're now branching into almond, of course. But,
almonds, right, exactly.
You know, but that's why. But you can use another brand. It's okay.
Okay, Leilani, do we have anybody that wants to ask a live question?
Yes, we do. We have one question at this time. Our first question comes from Marin. Marin, go ahead.
Hi there.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you. I've been doing the cleanse pretty consistently since June, and we have had some good effects from it. I am having two problems right now that I'm hoping you can help with. One is my hair seems to be falling out. I don't have bald spots, but it just seems like, you know, I'm losing a lot of hair. And the other is I've never had a problem with constipation or gas, really, but I have since doing the cleanse. And so I'm wondering about those two things.
Okay, so your hair was fine before?
Hair didn't start until this fall. So I don't think it's necessarily
fall.
Related
so
to the cleanse.
I
yeah.
say, so it's not, okay. So that's new, but it's not cleanse related.
Right.
Okay, how old are you? Sorry.
I'm 35.
Okay, 35, and Are you stressed out? Did something change in the fall?
Yeah, I teach college, so I went back to work.
Okay. And then what was your diet like before this?
It wasn't terrible, but I certainly was, you know, eating gluten and dairy intermittently, and I've always eaten a lot of veggies. But yeah. Does that answer your question?
And did you get the option three? Are you taking the digestive support too?
I am.
Okay. And you still have gassy, bloated stuff going on.
Right. It's more of a constipation. I've never had a problem with that, except I had chemotherapy 17 years ago, and I was constipated then, and I did Accutane once and got constipated. But other than that, I've always been really regular, so it's very odd for me.
Well, sometimes when you cut out, if you are eating gluten-containing grains, which are insoluble fiber, and you cut them out, that can get you a little constipated. So that could be
Okay. Paleo
there. And so what you can do there is, I love magnesium citrate. Magnesium with vitamin C is kind of like just kick that puppy up till it starts to move.
Okay.
I also travel with something called herbal laxative because if you're really nothing's going, it kind of gets you inspired. But I also would have you look a little deeper at something.
Okay.
Let's just put this clinical picture together. So you went back to work and you started losing your hair, most likely due to stress, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, stress is going to impact your hormone cascade and also deplete B vitamins and vitamin C and also lower stomach acid, which can impair digestion. So hormones and B vitamins and impaired digestion will all reflect back into your hair, skin, and nails. Okay, so that's step one, is let's start handling stress. Fish oil and the Omega Plus supplement is what I would recommend there because it's fish oil and GLA.
Okay. So I do take Omega Bright, which is a pharmaceutical-grade omega-3, and I've been taking the blackcurrant oil.
Okay, good.
Supplement,
you got it covered. Then, and by the way, they're all pharmaceutical. This is pharmaceutical-grade, too. There's actually no such thing as pharmaceutical-grade, but we all say it, but it's kind of marketing.
Well, I know that they don't give me fish burps, so that makes me happy.
Yeah. That's a good thing, although most people get fish burps because of digestive issues, not because of the pill.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So then a good B-complex for you, I'd recommend B-complex number 5 because it's higher in pantothene, and when you're stressed out, B5 is the one that kind of gets tanked. And some extra vitamin C, like if you did an emergency light, 2 of those packets a day, that'd be cool. And then you're taking your Biogest, so that's great. are your periods regular?
Yep.
Okay, I would look at something else, and you know, when you get under stress, your adrenals tend to get stressed out, tend to get impaired, and that can reflect back on your thyroid, and one of the classic signs of low thyroid is constipation, so you just, even though it could just be because your fiber shifted down in your diet, and you could add some metabolic fiber, you know, increase your fiber intake, get your magnesium, vitamin C, and if needed, herbal laxative. Do that, but you do want to consider, you know, I just want to make sure we're not ignoring something.
Well, no, I am hypothyroid from having head and neck radiation when I was 17 and went through cancer treatment. So I am treated and I regularly see an endocrinologist. So my thyroid levels are okay right now.
So what are your levels?
I can't remember what they are exactly right now.
So just make sure that they're looking at everything, including free T3 and T4, that you're really where you need to be. Because if you get stressed, your adrenals work together with your thyroid. And so you can end up possibly needing more adrenal medication or more thyroid medication if your adrenals go low.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to always look at the two of those together. So that's just right.
And do you recommend a certain level? Because I know there's a pretty wide range for what's considered normal.
Well, there is, but it's not considered optimal. So someone considers normal is not optimal. And especially if you're under thyroid medication, it's really 0.5 to 1. You do not want to be over 1 when you're being medicated.
And that's TSH?
That's TSH. Then you want to have, depending on the lab, it's usually like 3.5 is a good place for your free T3.
Okay.
So, but they need to look at all that and a lot of, you know, make sure you've got a pretty integrative functional medicine type of endocrinologist.
Yeah, I don't think I do. So.
I just have to jump in for 1 second. The information that JJ is giving you is so valuable. I kid you not. It's, you know, for somebody, the stuff that she's telling you, it sometimes takes a year waiting list to get into a physician that will say the things that JJ's saying to you.
Right
now, I just want to make sure that, and of course, I know that, you know, you understand how valuable the information is, but it's pretty important that you do follow up on what she's saying. I just wanted to underscore that, because what she's saying is invaluable.
No, I really, I understand that, because I've struggled for so many years and gone through so many doctors trying to find anybody who will say, yes, there is actually something that can be treated.
I would really like, I mean, I will tell you that most of the endocrinologists, I have some endocrinologist friends who actually are pretty holistic, but for the most part, they're not. Where are you located?
Mm-hmm.
What part of the country?
I'm in Michigan, and I actually have to travel to Ann Arbor, to the University of Michigan, to even have an endocrinologist. There's none in my area.
But I'm just thinking, you know, it might be something you need to work with a holistic practitioner on the adrenal. Like most of them don't even do adrenal testing through salivary adrenal testing, which is part of what you need to do here.
Okay.
So especially with, you know, your body's a history book, unfortunately. And so you've had cancer in the past. You know, you said chemo and radiation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which could be, you know, you'll always have to look for things like GI issues as well, you know.
Right.
So there's just things that you need to be watching for in terms of always keeping good gastrointestinal health, always having good adrenal health, and it's such a delicate balance. And if something happens, like you get under stress, it starts a whole cascade of things. And what's good is you seem to be very aware of your body and how it works and what's normal. And then something shifts, and again, it could be as simple as you just need more fiber in your diet, but I want you to be aware of if, you know, we up your fiber a little bit with, say, things like, you know, Metabulk, and you start taking magnesium and vitamin C, and it doesn't do it, you need to start going, is this my thyroid? Is it my adrenals? You could do a salivary adrenal test to start looking at that, because you don't want to miss the bigger picture.
Right.
And most of the traditional endocrinologists, they have that wide range for thyroid, which should be blown up. It's ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it just, none of that stuff makes any sense.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, that really helps. Can you give me a sense of where to start looking for somebody who would do salivary adrenal testing?
My favorite.
Because I'm pretty certain that it's my adrenals, because I've been under chronic stress. I did a PhD full time and worked full time, and my mother had a heart attack, and so that's been going on for the past 5 years of my life.
Stacking up.
You know, the one I really, there's a person I love that I think you should chat with. There's two people I'm going to give you.
Okay.
One of them is, I'm trying to think of where, so you're in,
I'm in Michigan between Chicago and Detroit, so that whole range.
So you could get to Chicago, if you want to travel to Chicago,
uh-huh.
There's a gal, Michelle Brannick, an ND. Okay, she could do all this stuff for you.
Okay.
She can't write scripts, but she's an ND in the DC. If
okay.
you want to do a phone consult with a brilliant thyroid dude, his name is Dr. Alan Christensen. He's in Scottsdale.
Okay.
And if you should be able to find them both through Google, use my name, and if you need direct in, then just email a peer trainer, and they'll get you hooked back up with
okay.
them.
Okay.
Get them to you. But I think you should.
Wonderful. Gosh, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it.
I'm so lucky I have all these amazing, I mean, I just have this amazing resource Rolodex of practitioners.
The network is phenomenal.
You built it. You're not lucky. You built it. So thank you. Thank you for that.
Well, true. Do you have any other questions? Or?
No, that helps a ton. Thank you so much.
And also, again, if you do have trouble, you can just email thecleanse@peertrainer.com, and we'll help you out.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jackie and JJ.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye. Great. Thank you. So, Leilani, do we have anyone on the live and waiting in the queue, or do we go back to the questions that were submitted?
We have no more questions at this time.
Okay. So the same part two of what Nancy was asking, I like the 4x4. I've used it. It's very convenient. However, I have two questions about it. Is there an exercise that can replace the core crunches or some way to modify them to support your neck? I've had neck surgery. I don't think it's the best thing for me to do, but I'm not sure what else to do to keep the benefits of the all-body workout while still being quick and easy.
There are absolutely other things you can do, but what I'm going to tell you is the smartest way to go on that. Like there's a seated abdominal exercise is you really should go consult with someone, a physical therapist or a personal trainer who's really well-versed in biomechanics, and have them give you a couple different exercises you can do for your abs. Because, I mean, I know all the different ones, but I am not sitting there with her, and I want to be sensitive to that. Like, you know, there's one where you can just do a reverse curl where you just lift your tailbone up, or you can do a single leg arc where you just take one leg down towards the ground. There's a seated ab, but they're really hard to describe, you know, they're visual. So that's what I would say to do, is you need to, you know, hire someone for an hour or 30 minutes and have them teach you the different options there are.
And the next question, are there more exercises to mix it up down the road, or is the 4x4 really enough of an all-over workout that there's no need to change things up with new exercises or add more? That's a great question.
It is, and here's the perfect world. In the perfect world, I want you changing it up all the time, maybe even every week. I mean, in the perfect world, you would go do some fun, cool, different class once a week. You'd do like, you know, you'd move more every single day by wearing a pedometer, and really, like, I've been making such a point at the hotel and at the hospital, just taking the stairs, right? I have to park practically a mile plus away, so I'm already doing that. But, you know, you would actually do those things where you get more movement in during the day, and you do concerted exercise. The 4x4s are sort of your fallback when you don't have a lot of time. If you could go to the gym and do a bigger workout, great. If you can go do extended bursts, like 8 bursts, great. You know, but you'd be continuing to shift it up and do different things, because our bodies are built to adapt. And especially as you age, if you keep doing the same thing, you don't continue to improve. You do a slow decline, and none of us want to do a slow decline. So
no.
If you're short on time during the week, what I'd say is, you know, move more, really wear that pedometer and get those things in. Because, I mean, honestly, like, I know with me, it does, you know, being able to park farther away and then take the stairs, it makes a difference. And then throw the 4x4s in, and then see if you can get a new class in on the weekend. And there's a ton of 4x4s. I think I did 8 of them, 12, I don't even remember. So you've got a bunch of different ones to shift it up. And some days, if you can, do 2, you know. So, like, if you have time, do it through twice, or do it in the morning and do it in the afternoon. And then you can always do some more burst training the next day, like go out and walk and sprint and walk and sprint. But, you know, just watch how your body feels to see if you need a recovery day or an easier day that day. But ideally, that's not just you're doing the 4x4, whatever, whichever one you love that you downloaded. You're not using that same one 3 times a week for the rest of your life. No, don't do that.
And moving on, next question. What can one do to prevent gas? Many Pure Trainer recipes have beans in them, which... They do. I'm surprised that you're saying that, because we have so many that don't, but I can see we definitely have some bean-filled chilies. I work with teens, and stinky gas is just not acceptable.
Bino, man.
Linda.
Bino. Right?
And also, I'm wondering how much fiber you're using in your shakes, Linda.
Well, you want to titrate these things up. Slowly,
yes.
Like, that's one thing we've seen with people. Like, don't just go from, like, no fiber to big fiber overnight. You'll be, like, you know, a mess. But so that's the first thing, is titrate that fiber up. But ideally, you want to adjust to it. And if you're one of those people that beans always is giving you gas, then that's one where you're just going to have to get Bino and take Bino. Simple enough.
And then you're done. Next question, how often can the cleanse be repeated? Forever, Linda. I am still doing the cleanse. It's a year later than when I started.
Like, oh,
but
no.
JJ, you can answer that. I know that sometimes people like 4 times a year, but please obviously feel free to jump in.
Well,
there.
I really love the idea of concertedly doing it 3 to 4 times a year, at least twice, but, you know, 3 to 4 times a year where you focus on it, where you just, this is your time, you're taking it out, you're doing a cleanse. Because what ideally is I look at health as kind of like peeling an onion, right? And you go through the cleanse and you get rid of some bad habits, and forever. Some you get rid of for a little while and they might peek back in. And each time you do it, you get a little better and a little more aware. And because you're not going to go from, like, let's say you're getting a C minus in your diet to an A plus and stay there overnight. But maybe you went from a C minus and this time you hit it at a B. And then you hit it at a B plus. And then you got to an A minus. And I think living with an A minus is a great place to be, or even a B plus. You know, I mean, and I think I told you, it's like I basically live at an A minus, but when this whole thing hit with Grant, I went from A minus to A plus immediately because I knew I couldn't get sick. I was like, no risk. I have to do this perfect right now, which made a massive difference. So that's what I would tell you to do is ideally you go through the cleanse and you keep a lot of what you learned in the cleanse. You keep doing it. You know, you might let some other things like a little wine, a little coffee come back in. But then you do the cleanse quarterly so that you take time that, what I see that as, is like a time where you just really focus on you. You put yourself first. That's to me what the cleanse really allows you to do, is say, hey, I'm going to really track myself right now, focus on this, do everything the right way for this, you know, specific amount of time, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
A little better. You go for your A-plus instead of your B-plus.
And you'll probably go up and down from the plus to the minus, you know, just depending on where you are and your stress levels. Leilani, do we have any live callers? I just want to jump in before we go back.
Not at this time.
Okay. And again, if you have a live call, you just press *0 to get into the queue. Next question, is it okay to eat popcorn after the cleanse? I love to air pop it and put a little olive oil and garlic. That sounds yummy to me. I added that sounds yummy. That was not a part of the question.
You know, it's so interesting. So corn, of course, we know that popcorn actually is not genetically modified, because if they genetically modify, it doesn't pop. So that's good news. And you can buy organic.
Oh, please repeat that, because I know many of us, especially when it comes to our kids who like popcorn, our older kids, have gotten nervous about not getting that because they would be GMO. So,
okay, but no, it doesn't pop. I found that out. I was like, oh, so it's
wow.
GMO. If it's, but, okay, but, here's the dealio. So you're eating popcorn, and I'm guessing that you're eating popcorn as a snack, or, you know, oh, I hate snacks, but you're eating popcorn because you think that it's a diet food. Like, why are people eating popcorn?
Uh-huh.
Right? They eat popcorn because they have this perception that it's a diet food. Am I right on that?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's always almost advertised that way, in a way,
yeah.
Except for the
All right,
movies.
So let's break that one down, shall we? So what do we feed cows and pigs?
What do we feed them? Grass.
Well, not we. I mean, I don't have a cow in my backyard. Do you?
Grass.
We feed cows and pigs corn, right?
Oh. Well, we try to feed them grass. Okay, yes, I understand. Yes, corn.
Okay.
Corn-based.
So but why do we feed them cows? Why do we feed them that?
To get them to maturity faster.
Fatten them up. And why does that fatten them up? Because corn is so high glycemic, so starchy, that it is one of the fastest ways to fatten up animals. So having said that, knowing that, why the heck would we be eating popcorn as a diet food?
Yeah, well, and also I do have to ask, how full do you really feel after popcorn? I mean,
I can eat the entire, first of all, like, you know, it's a total trigger food.
Yes, that's
my
what I was
worst trigger
to.
Food ever. Like, I went to, you know, Trader Joe's has got this organic olive oil and sea salt popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
Forget it, man. I can down the bag. I mean, down the bag of it. And I never feel full. I always feel a little sick. I always feel bloated the next day. It's, you know, it's not, and yes, there's fiber in it, but you know what? It's very high glycemic. Corn's very high glycemic. It's just basically sugar. Right? So wherever we got this idea, because I know there's now Skinny Pop, you know, this idea that corn's a, you know, diet food, it's not. It's sugar. And I think that if you looked at it and you went, okay, an ear of corn's basically like 15 grams of sugar, and so all we're eating here is sugar with some garlic and olive oil on it, we would think very differently about it.
Especially when we know sugar stops all of your fat burning. It's like freezing the weight loss process. in a way, in a sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So I love that you just said that. If we looked at it as sugar and put a little olive oil and garlic, we'd look at that snack a lot differently. That's a great visual.
So, you know, I'm sorry. I realize that I am being a buzzkill. I adore, I mean, popcorn. And by the way, forget air popped. Popcorn popped in coconut oil with some sea salt. Oh, my gosh. I think it's one of the most delicious things, but I'm a hog with it. It's totally fattening because it's teaching your body how to store more fat. It is not a diet food. You know, the only benefit to it, it's got fiber in it, but that's it. And corn's more reactive than a lot of the other proteins. So I cannot say anything. There's so much better options out there.
And, okay, perfect. I think all that right. Would that so definitely answered it.
Rest.
Leilani, do we have any live callers? Otherwise, we'll go through another couple that we have here on the list.
Yes, we do. We have one question. Our next question comes from Michelle. Michelle, go ahead.
Hello,
hi,
how
Michelle.
Are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Good, thank you. I have a couple-part question. My husband and I both did the cleanse here for the last 2 weeks. I am a fitness trainer but currently not working as I'm home with 4 kids in a 40-month span. Weight loss was not wanted or desired for my husband particularly, but I'm 5'7" and 145 pounds, so I'm pretty much where I want to be as well. And we found that my husband lost over 10 pounds, which was actually distressing to him. And I wondered if, looking at this from the perspective of handing it off to clients or to people that I will be working with down the road when I get back into my business again, what if they don't want to lose weight? And how can we modify the program to not be so blanketed to weight loss? I know that that's 95% of the people, and I'm sorry that my husband and I are not those people, but I'm sure you're going to have those people as your clients as well.
Oh, yeah,
it's really easy to set it up that way. That's so easy.
Yeah, JJ, you've definitely talked about this before.
Yeah, yeah. And especially, like, let's say someone's trying to add muscle. I do breakfast. I'd actually build it into 4 meals instead of 3, or breakfast, lunch, a snack, and dinner.
Okay.
So let's say it's like, you know, breakfast at 7, lunch at 11, another meal at 3, and one at 7.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it that way. And then you just make sure that they are, you add an extra slow, low carb serving in there. So they would have their protein, because their protein always stays around the same, you know. They could up the fat and up the slow, low carbs, and they can add that extra meal or snack, and then you should be golden.
Okay. Yeah, he actually lost the 10 pounds eating. He had 2 shakes a day, but he also ate 2 meals a day. So,
yeah.
Did
well,
he add, what was his typical, when you said the meal,
butter.
What was it? Yeah, what was in his meal? What was
a typical meal would be 6 to 10 ounces of a lean organic meat, and I would usually do some sort of carb, like a rice pasta or a quinoa or something like that, and then we would have a ton of vegetables, whether it was a salad or whether it was steamed broccoli or cauliflower, or sometimes I do carrots and parsnips together, but I always have something green, so if I did carrots and parsnips, then I would have broccoli or a salad or something like that as well.
And where was the avocado? Where was the good fat?
Where was the good fat in the cooking of the olive oil? I know that's not raw, but I would put it in the salad if we had the salad.
More healthy fat, nuts, avocado.
Okay. Sometimes that'll go in my salads.
Yeah, because
seeds.
So that's
nuts and seeds, definitely.
Easy up it is up to healthy fats. You know, you can throw half an avocado in a shake, by the way. You can't taste it. Makes
yep.
it really rich. Throw coconut oil, throw almond butter, up your chia seeds. You know,
I ate almond butter like it was going out of style.
I do too.
Love that stuff.
Well, I don't because I can't bring it in the house because I'm just piggy. Yeah, unfortunately.
The second part of my question is my husband had a headache for the entire 14 days. The entire 14 days.
Well, what was his diet like prior to?
Well, let's face it, there was lots of sugar in it.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Part two of my of the part two question was, how long could it possibly take to get all this stuff out of there?
Well, it's more that he probably had trained his body. He probably needed to get more, little more starchy carbs in there.
Okay.
But I find with a lot of people, you know, it can take a week or two to get off of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel crappy the whole time. And
yep.
So what we do with them is we just up their fruit.
Okay.
So if someone's used to eating a lot of sugar and you up and sounds like for him, he's used to eating sugar and he's probably more of a sugar burner than a fat burner, and that's why he had a transition issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you just use a little more fruit with those people, and you can see their diet. They don't even realize where they're getting all the sugar in.
I mean, when I feed him, he does well. It's the sitting at night when we're, you know, relaxing, watching TV or something, and he's sitting beside me with a beer in his hand and a chocolate bar or a bag of chips or something, and I got my apples and my almond butter.
Uh-huh.
That's when he goes off the rails. But certainly a lot more than, you know, 3 Cokes a day probably beforehand.
Wow. Well, I mean, so
yeah.
He's doing caffeine.
26 grams of sugar each.
Well, caffeine and sugar.
Yes. And actually on day 10, I finally went to Starbucks and I got an espresso and I made the mocha chocolate Vegelite shake. And that seemed to help a bit, but...
So he probably, like, did he do caffeine during it or not?
No, because he doesn't drink coffee, just drink Coke.
Yeah, so you took him off of caffeine and sugar all together at once. That's why he
mm-hmm.
gets the big headache.
Mm-hmm. That's why I went and got the Starbucks on day 10, because he was
perfect.
So miserable.
Yeah, and so that's what it was, is he came off of caffeine and sugar together. That's a big, and he sounds like he was pretty addicted to them.
Yeah, and so how many days do you think it would take somebody to get off that? Because, I mean, day 14, he still had a headache.
Long. But it really depends on how long you've been using it and how much you were using. You
right.
know? So
okay.
It depends where you're coming from and how bad it was to start. You know, if you were doing one soda a day, it's not going to be as long as if it was 3 or 4 sodas a day.
Okay.
So, right. So
okay.
is he, what's he doing now?
Well, he's sort of back to himself a little bit, but he's, you know, he's going to say maybe I'll have 1 Coke a day or something like that, but...
Hey, 1 Coke a day is a big improvement from what he was
yeah,
doing.
For him. But he's 6'3", and he's, like, literally, he's 178 pounds. The guy can't gain. Pardon me?
That doesn't mean he's healthy.
No, and I get that, and that's why part of the reason why we did this.
Yeah.
But, fourthly, I had left a message, or I put a message through via email before you canceled your last Q&A last week. Never heard back, and so I was assuming that it would be answered in this, but since I'm talking to you, I may as well throw it in there. I had tremendous issues with my SI joints for a few nights, like could not sleep. Like it was like, while I was pregnant with twins, I had sciatica, but it wasn't quite like that. It was just achy, awful, I can't sleep. And I'm wondering, I know that joint pain is part of some of this detox stuff, but is there any chance it was kidney-related or?
No way. I honestly would be surprised if that was related.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
You mean, is it related to detox or kidneys, I think was her question, JJ.
So, I don't know. I mean, it could be, but it's just not a very common one.
Okay.
When you're detoxing.
Yeah.
But, okay.
You know, again, I don't know where you were coming from, but it doesn't sound like your diet was that bad to start with. It would sound like your husband.
No. I'm like I said, I'm a trainer.
Exactly.
I've always...
It wasn't like you had a big thing to detox from.
No.
So I almost wonder if it was more... You know, one of the challenges we have when these things happen is that anything that goes on with you, you tend to go, oh, it's because of this.
Yeah.
But may have absolutely nothing to do with it. And that's kind of one of those things that I bet is probably not related.
Because I'm
Michelle,
under the chiropractic care and all those things, too. So I just...
You know, Michelle,
I
will tell you... I will tell you completely anecdotally, like 100% anecdotal. I experienced some of that too, like that joint stuff when I've done a complete and total elimination of caffeine.
Okay.
You know,
and I never was on caffeine before. I don't drink coffee.
Yeah,
I don't drink Coke. So.
Yeah, so that's not even. Even do you drink green tea,
she
anything?
She didn't have that
no.
big of a. She wasn't
no caffeine.
Really to start with.
Yeah.
That's why
yeah.
I don't think it really was
yeah.
related.
Bizarre. Okay, well, 3 nights I didn't sleep because of it, and then it was gone. So, bizarre.
Maybe you got the flu.
Pardon me?
Maybe you got the flu. I don't know.
Yeah,
there.
I don't know.
Obviously, yeah.
No, all right.
It's a complete guessing.
Okay, well, thanks very much. I appreciate it.
All right.
Oh, thank you. It's great to talk to you. Great to hear from you. My gosh, even though her husband had 10-pound weight loss that he didn't want. that's always crazy. Leilani, do we have any other live questions, or should we go back to the list?
There's no more questions at this time.
Okay, so the next one, what are your thoughts on natural flavorings added to food? I noticed the Thorn protein products contain natural flavor. From my research, it's my understanding that it's derived from natural food, but that there can be as many as 40 chemicals in quote-unquote natural flavor. Please let me know your thoughts on this topic.
Well, it just really depends on if you know that company or not. I just happen to know Thorn well and where they're, because here's the challenge you have. Like, I know this from the Virgin Diet Shake we're getting ready to launch, is we can't tell you the exact stuff because then someone else could knock it off, right? So it's kind of a challenge where I know with Thorn what they're putting in, and I know that they don't put crap in. So that's your issue, is you sort of got to know your companies, and that's why when we talk about it, we like So Delicious, because we know the people who run it.
And Thorn. I mean, I'm beyond impressed with Thorn.
Yeah. I mean, Thorn is like, it's like, come on, guys, really, just let this thing pass through quality control. It's like, come
yeah.
on. It's
I mean,
so
as the founder of Peer Trainer, I can't tell you how many supplement companies have contacted us because we have such a big community. And Thorn is just continues to impress with their quality. I've just never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
And
so
I mean, obviously, you've been
vetting
things for 20 years.
That's the problem, is it's hard to get the straight answer on, like, what exactly things are because of proprietary ingredients and people knocking off your formulas. But honestly, you know, I had someone else say, oh, but it's, you know, natural flavors and scary. And I think you really need to know who the company is. I'd be more concerned. I was going to say a name, and I thought, I'm going to get sued. But I'd be more concerned about some of those big companies that we know sell other things like, you know, sodas and stuff than I would, you know, these companies that are places like So Delicious or Thorn, personally.
Yeah. And next question, I'm 32 years old. I'm currently taking the Thorn Nutrifem and Omega Plus. What do you think are must-takes in the world of supplements? I'm wondering about your supplement recommendations for everyday use. And is Thorn coming out with a one-per-day multivitamin anytime soon? Well, the basic nutrient pack is something you put together.
The basic nutrient pack is moving into a one-a-day. Do I think that's optimal? No, I think two-a-day is optimal, but I'm also being realistic that most people won't take two-a-day. And I know Habib has, like, hammered me over the head with this. You know, the thing is, if you really were going to take everything I thought you were going to take, you would be like me, and you would take Dixie cups, and Jack, you've seen it. And I have them sitting on my desk right now as I travel with this, like I travel with Trader Joe's bags full of these plastic Dixie cup things that I take. So you kind of start from, like, what's the most important, and then you build from there. And the most important is a good basic multi. You know, a one pill, one a day, the challenge is you're not going to get the calcium and magnesium you need in there because those are such big molecules. So it's really hard to get everything you need in that's in one pill. So that's the big issue with that. So I like some good comprehensive multivitamin mineral formula. And I love it when they do it kind of based on your sex and your age. Like you talked about taking Nutrifem, and I have the Thorn Daily Nutrient Packets just kind of shoved around. Like, I have a bottle of them here in this hotel just so I always have them as backup. But I take Metafem because I'm over 40, just as my basic multi, and I take Omega Synergy, which is the Omega in the Daily Nutrient Pack because it's got EPA, DHA, and GLA. I think the basics you need are a good basic multivitamin mineral antioxidant formula. If you can, based on your age and sex, even better. If you eat fish three or four or more times a week, you may not need to take fish oils. You may just need to take GLA. But if you don't eat fish, clean, wild fish three to four times or more consistently every single week, you should take fish oil. Most people should. It's just smarter to do so. And you should take GLA with it, which is what that Omega Plus product is. You should check your vitamin D levels through a 25-hydroxy vitamin D test. And Most people need to take somewhere between 2,000 and 5,000 IUs of vitamin D a day. That's just a good basic. If you're under any kind of additional stress, usually some additional B vitamins are helpful. I find most people do better with those. And vitamin C, so that's if you're under any additional stress, those are helpful. And then the rest of the stuff past that really depends on what else you got going on. So, but those are the basics. I love having a good comprehensive, you know, great shake. And I know here, I think we're probably a month out, Jackie, from having that shake that I know you're going to offer to community as well.
Awesome. Yep.
You know, the all-in-one. So it will have a lot of the basic stuff you need in it too.
So just to be clear, JJ, just to be clear, are you saying that, I know you like it age-specific, but the basic nutrient packs, is that something
that
you would recommend?
Well, that's just a nice basic, you know, and we're doing it now. We're going to offer it as a one-a-day or a two-a-day. You know, it's like at the very least, take one pack of the daily nutrient packs every day. That is your bare-bones very least thing.
And I'll tell you something just really quickly about the daily nutrient packs, because I was just looking at them the other day. I mean, they have resveratrol. They have so many things in there that so many people buy as individual things, and they're sitting here all in this packet. So, I mean, I just find it to be really convenient myself.
Yes, I do too. So, I mean, that's like the great basic, and I put those together. So,
yeah, exactly. No, I know. When I looked at it, and I knew you, but I mean, it has quercetin, it has selenium. There's so many things in here. When I first said that to you, and you said, yeah, I put it together. I was like, oh, no wonder, because I've never seen a basic, you know, a multivitamin daily nutrient pack that had everything in it that you need, that's just good for your health.
Thank you. I thought it was pure genius. So
I agree.
Yeah. So
I do. No, I'm telling
basic.
You. I'm just really quick. I'm such a fan because people look at it, and I have to say it's $99. So people think, well, God, I mean, I've never seen a daily multivitamin come near that price, and it's because it's not the same as these, you know, one a day things that you're getting at a store.
No, essential fatty acids and resveratrol. It's really a rock star. Plus, we're telling you now you can take one packet a day, so that's basically a two-month supply. And, I mean, so come on, that's under $2 a day. It's actually even more under $2. It's like $1.80 a day or $1.70 a day. So that's like half your Starbucks. So,
yes.
Yeah, that's a total steal on that thing. So that would be your bare-bone basics. And the only other mention I will say here is, I find a lot of people do better with some digestive enzymes. So that would be plant enzymes or Biogest. And a lot of people do well with something to either help with leaky gut, which is PermaClear, or a good probiotic, which is Floramin Prime. So those are just things that kind of are basics people do better with. And if you're stressed out, again, B complex number 5, vitamin C, and then Rolora Plus has been saving my life. Is there other one we love?
Yeah, I take it every day too.
Yeah, we love that.
And it's funny because if you are not, it can get confusing because there's so many supplements and there's so many things that you sit there and say, well, you know, is this going to work? And what happens is that your life starts to change. I'm such a big fan of the things that JJ has recommended to me, and I take them every day. And I really notice if I have gotten lax and I'm just like, God, I just forgot, or I don't feel like taking something, I'll actually notice by 3 or 4 that I've had a really different kind of day. I'm either a little bit more stressed, I'm not as productive, I'm like, what's wrong? What's going on with my head today? And almost invariably, it'll have been that I didn't take the supplements that I needed to take that day. That's just a personal experience. Next question, could you and JJ address the issue of alcohol use in a clean diet? I know you mentioned a glass of red wine or tequila, but why would vodka or gin be verboten when tequila is okay? I don't drink much, but I don't really like wine, weird I guess, and I'm not a tequila lover. I do, however, like a dry martini, Tricia.
Well, then have a dry martini, Tricia. So, you know, it's just a matter of degrees. Like tequila, the agave plant, slightly better for you than the potato or the grains. So, you know, that's all. But is it remarkable, like, if you're doing it every once in a while, who cares? It's fine. It's okay. Little gin or vodka every once in a while is not an issue. Like, a bottle is an issue, you know?
Right.
So, especially since it's a dry martini, you're not having a sugar Cosmo hit.
And next question, I am curious if there's any interference with vitamin or mineral absorption with the addition of MediBulk to the shakes. I'm taking the Thorn detox nutrients and the daily basic nutrients with my shakes in the morning. I had read somewhere that I should not take psyllium fiber at the same time as supplements. My daughter has a severe case of PCOS, and she just started taking the PGX powder with meals to help with insulin resistance. Will the extra fiber block the absorption of the Thorn supplements?
So, you know, it's funny, when I very first started studying supplements 20 whatever years ago, I had a supplement guide that I developed where I had this whole chart of the things you took before breakfast, with breakfast, after breakfast, before lunch, with lunch, after lunch, mid-afternoon, before dinner, with dinner, before bed. You get the idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no one would use it. No one would follow it. Now, is fiber going to lower the absorption of some nutrients somewhat? Sure. Sure it is. How would we have gotten our vitamins and minerals in the wild?
Good point.
Okay, yeah. And so, because I remember at first they were like, well, calcium blocks magnesium, so take them separately. And I'm like, how would we have gotten them in the wild? How would we have ever taken these things? So there's a challenge here in that, like, would it be better to take them a little away from fiber? Yes, but aren't you eating fiber at each meal? And you need to take your food with your supplements because it's your, you know, things like B vitamins and zinc, if you don't take them with food, you're going to vomit. And things like fat-soluble supplements, you need to take in some fat to help them absorb better. So what are you going to do since we're having you eat a higher fiber diet? How will you ever take your supplements? And then there's the whole other side of is, well, you got to also remember to do them and to be compliant. So you can kind of overanalyze this thing into a point where all of a sudden you're like, ah. And I think what it matters is if you're taking a medication that, like, you know, thyroid, for example, you need to take on an empty stomach. You're taking a medication that could be blocked by fiber and that lower the efficacy evidence, something like a blood pressure med, and you really need it. That's where it's an issue. But beyond that, I think you just need to take your supplements.
And next question, you wrote that if your BM floated, that you were not metabolizing fat. Mine has been floating during this fast, I'm guessing cleanse. How can I change my diet, eat more coconut oil, olive oil, or less? I had my gallbladder removed as well. Would that make a difference in the fat metabolizing? Sharon.
So I've actually kind of gotten some new information on all this. It's funny because I just was reading, someone sent me, because they know how much I love poop, they sent me someone else's whole thing on poop and how poop should float. And I go, poop should not float. Like, how did she get that one wrong? Like, your poop should not be floaty poop. But it turns out that the latest stuff is thinking that poop tends to float not because of fat, but because of gut bacterial overgrowth and that bacteria causing more gassy, floaty, poopy. So,
oh, wow.
I know, which makes a lot of sense. So the question is, why is the float poopy. Why is the poop floating? Not sure. And is it, you know, ideally it shouldn't do a dive bomb down to the bottom of the bowl and skid. That's also showing poor fat digestion. It should just kind of go in and then sink down, right? I mean, and be well formed and all that. But if it's really floating, there's two things you're going to look at. And one could be fat digestion, and you'd see, like, more oily residue in the bowl, maybe along the sides, maybe skid marks. Or it could be this small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, SIBO, which you can Google, where you're not you've got this bad bacterial overgrowth. It's making you gassier. It's actually making your poop more it's making it have more air in it. So it floats more. And so if you're someone who gets more bloated as the day goes on, whether you eat or not, that's a really big sign of SIBO. It also happens due to stress. So, but we've had this transition with you where this didn't used to happen. You wouldn't have all of a sudden gone from not digesting, you know, from digesting fat well to not digesting fat well from starting a cleanse. That wouldn't have happened. The only difference would be as if you weren't eating fat before and you started eating fat. And when you've had your gallbladder out, I think one of the supplements you should be on forever is phosphatidylcholine is just such a great supplement for you. So I would look at phosphatidylcholine. I'm looking things up right now as we talk to see what the easy way to tell you on all this stuff is. And then there is another, you know, a good basic enzyme formula, of course, is another great one that I'm trying to find in here. Let's see how quickly I can find this. Because it would be great to do DIPAN-9, which DIPAN-9 is, or you could just, you know, you could do BioGest. BioGest will work fine. So a good enzyme formula that has, and the nice thing with BioGest is it's got ox bile in it, so it's really good if you've had your gallbladder removed. It's going to help with fat emulsification right there, so that's a biggie, and it's also got some pancreatin. And so it's, I would definitely use BioGest, and I'd also look at phosphatidylcholine because that'll be really supportive there as well, and I just can't find it in here. But those are the two things that I would look at, because I don't know if maybe you started eating more healthy fats and you weren't eating them before, and that might be an issue too. Or if you've all of a sudden started paying more attention to your poop where you weren't before. So not sure what's doing it, but I would definitely look at BioGest and then phosphatidylcholine, adding those into your world as majorly helpful here. And BioGest, actually, once I read it, is the right one for you with this. And that's really, when they take your gallbladder out, that should be standard course. It's kind of annoying that it's not, that you should be doing that. And most likely for you, like phosphatidylcholine one twice a day should do it for you for that too. And I'd love to see that at your, you know, meals that you're eating. It actually would be a great thing just to take with BioGest at each meal. So maybe 3 per day would be a good way to go with that. Okay.
And Leilani, do we have any other live callers, or should we go to the next question?
We have no questions at this time.
Okay. This question's a little embarrassing, but since I've been on the cleanse and taking the detox nutrients every morning, by day 4, I've had the most lethal-smelling gas and poops ever. Is this normal from the detox, or what? How long can I expect this? Debbie.
Okay, wait a minute. I went on. I just spaced out for a second. Repeat this.
Question's embarrassing. Day 4, I've been taking the detox nutrients. I've had the most lethal smelling gas and poops ever. Is this normal or what? How long can I expect this to last?
You know, that usually resolves in a week or two. And if not, then get some probiotics. And make sure you're doing probiotics and enzymes. Like I would do the PermaClear, the probiotics, and the Flormin Prime Extra. There's some in PermaClear, but I'd probably go extra, and I would do some enzymes, and I'd work on this because it could be just you weren't eating enough protein, or I'm sorry, fiber before, and you're adapting to it. That's probably a lot of it, but let's get some gut support in there and get your gut healing going and your good bacteria up, et cetera.
And she asked about floating, but you answered that. Finally, since I've been on the cleanse a lot past 2 days when I woke up, I have a scratchy throat, and all over I feel like I'm getting a cold. I rarely get sick. It's been at least 3 years since I can remember getting a cold. Is this typical doing the cleanse? Is this the toxins being released in my body?
No, it's not typical. And that's, again, I got to tell you, I still think one of the most, you can have, if you're like getting rid of candida, have flu-like symptoms, but we're not doing something specific to kill off candida. But I find so often when people get sick, and if they start a cleanse, say they start a cleanse and they get a cold or they get stomach flu, all of a sudden it's the cleanse, but it's really not the cleanse. They just got sick. They got a cold or the stomach flu, right? So sometimes I think we kind of put things over to detox when it really has got nothing to do with it. It's just you got sick. So.
As I cough. I'm not sick.
Yeah.
Next question. I understand that peanuts are a common allergy, so it's important to remove them in the cleanse. But beyond the cleanse, are there other reasons that peanuts or organic, low-sugar, low-sodium peanut butter should be avoided? Elizabeth.
It's also the aflatoxins. peanuts, more than any other nut or legume, have the highest risk towards aflatoxin mold. So that is why I'm not a big peanut fan. Yes, they're rich in monounsaturated fats, but they just aren't as good for you as tree nuts are. So for me, I'm kind of like, get rid of the peanuts, go to tree nuts, so much better.
Almonds. Oh, you're a big fan of almonds.
Almonds, walnuts, I think you should rotate them.
Next question. I've been doing JJ's 4x4 workout since June, and I love it. I find I need to amp it up a bit during the burst because it's getting getting easy since I can only do the lower step, I know, due to my knees. I've been doing the arm exercise with weights. Do you have any other suggestions or variations? Actually, you were mentioning that in a call before. But
I think we covered this one.
So
there's like 8 different ones, so you can do one of the other ones. Switch it up, do heavier weights. Okay.
Next question. I also find I'm not sweating much even when I work out. Sometimes that makes me wonder about doing the longer intense cardio workouts instead because I sweat. I love the short burst workouts, though, because I don't have any excuse not to work out. What are your thoughts on infrared wraps to add to detox?
I love the infrared. I think that's a great thing to do. So I would be all over adding in the infrared. Yes.
Thank you. I really love all the info both JJ and Jackie share. I've lost 5 pounds on the cleanse so far and about 28 pounds since mid-May when I cut sugar and simple carbs out of my diet, 95% at least. Added more veggies, lean protein, started bursting exercising after years of struggling with weight gain. I'm 47, and so many people said it was my age hormones. Yes, there is that too, but mostly it was self-neglect and thinking that a little sugar every day wouldn't hurt anything. Thank you so much for the inspiration to be conscious about my choices and my health and to realize that a treat doesn't have to be a sugar or scone or a mocha, though I give it to that one on occasion when I'm not cleansing, Laura. Oh, Laura, congratulations. That's so fantastic to hear. And I know what you're talking about in your struggle when people say, oh, you're just getting older. You know,
yeah.
It sort of
That just bugs me.
Yeah, it starts at 36. Well, you just had 2 kids. Why are you upset you don't fit into your clothes? I mean, after that, we just sort of give away our clothes and we give in to our new size. So I totally understand that. next question. I participated in the cleanse twice, following it faithfully. The only change I made was using the MediClear SGS instead of the Vegalite. I gained weight both times. At first, I was disappointed and discouraged, but then added up the calories and realized that the cleanse is actually more calories than what I normally consume on a regular basis. I know I've damaged my metabolism by following a very low-calorie diet in the past. Between cleanses 1 and 2, I had testing done due to some traumatic and stressful events over the last couple years. It was no surprise that my adrenals showed signs of fatigue, being too high in the morning, crashing by too low by noon, and then being too high again around bedtime. I was also advised that I had signs of, I don't even know how to pronounce that. Do you have this in front of you? Dysbiosis? Dysbiosis? Dysbiosis, but have been taking Berber caps for that. I'm also menopausal and taking Metafem. I've been taking Thorn B Complex number 5 and Q-Best for the last 3 weeks as well. I would really like to continue this way of eating because I do feel better for the most part. The exhaustion that I was feeling at noon is much better on most days. However, I'm concerned about the weight gain. I know I have several issues going on, but once these are stabilized, will the weight gain level off? Are there other supplements or anything else I should try? I'm also having trouble staying asleep at night, presumably because of the adrenals. I'm taking Cita Plus, but would adding GABA help? Angie.
Oh, my goodness, Angie. You need to work with someone. So, yes, if you've been on a very low-calorie diet for a long time, you're so correct in that you've damaged your metabolism. So really smart, very insightful in figuring that out. You need to go have your adrenals assessed. You said that you had them you said had some testing done. Okay. Hopefully you also had your thyroid checked as well. What happens as you're going through menopause, of course, that you're discovering is your cortisol comes up at night too. So what you're going to want to do is, you know, I think the best adrenal product when you've got what you've got going on right now is you use phosphatidylserine, Isophos is what it will look like, Isophos to lower it. So in the morning and in the evening, you're going to use Isophos, and rhodiola is really good there too, and fish oil. So more stuff to put on the store if you didn't put it on. Rhodiola,
yes.
Isophos,
yep.
And fish oil. And then,
I believe there's rhodiola in the Ceta Plus, but I could be wrong.
Okay, but she might need to hit a little bit more. So I think there is. Let's look. But phytosome and phosphatidylserine are going to be the things. Phytosome will help regulate your adrenals. Phosphatidylserine is going to help lower the morning and evening. Fish oil will help there too. And then you might need to add some melatonin in at night as well too. I'd probably go melatonin five. But the other thing is, you know, if you're under stress, as you see, your GI starts to get compromised as well. Your gut gets leakier. Your stomach acid comes down. Your higher likelihood for SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, and candida. Serotonin comes down so that you are more fatigued, don't sleep as well. So 5-HTP, I would look at 5-HTP and melatonin at night as a combo product, combo package. But you can heal this, and what you're getting intuitively is what you just said is, yeah, you're going to have to go through the process. You might find that you are gaining a little bit. Do burst style training to help retrain your sympathetic nervous system. Don't do endurance training. Work on your sleep and just realize that it might take 3 to 6 months to get through the healing process before your body's able to lose weight. I had a great gal I used to teach classes with, Dr. Diana Schwartzbein, and she'd always say you have to get healthy to lose weight, not lose weight to get healthy. And you're a perfect example of that, in that when you're going through menopause, you've got adrenal issues, and you've got to check to make sure you don't have thyroid issues, and now you've got GI issues, probably because of the adrenal issues. You got to fix those things. And if you've been operating on a low calorie diet, you can adapt and adjust back, but as you can see, it's going to take a little time. And this is one where I'd love to see you working with a holistic practitioner wherever you are, which we should start having people, whenever they turn in their stuff, tell us where they are so I can make recommendations. If I knew where they were, I could tell.
Yeah, we'll send that out completely so then they can actually have somebody and continue on their trajectory with what you're saying.
So.
Next time, this is the last question. Unless, Leilani, do we have anyone live?
No questions at this time.
Okay. Every time I try to do the cleanse, I get an allergic reaction, red, bumpy, itchy face, and scalp and dry, itchy patches on my neck. I've heard other people ask about this in previous sessions, but I don't recall your answer. Is it possible I'm allergic to the shakes, or is it the toxins being released? Are there alternative shakes that are just as good?
If it's only thing that you're adding is the shake, I don't know what all this is. We've got to get more information from people. I don't know if she's doing the shakes and the detox packets. I don't know what all she's doing.
Okay.
So that's the problem, is it could be an allergic reaction. It could be a detox reaction. Common detox responses are rashes. But bumpy, itchy.
Would you mind just explaining a little bit about what that rash looks like so that people know?
Well, it wouldn't be like, so a common, you know, a food allergy. I'm guessing she knows her body well enough to know what happens when she gets an allergic reaction. So she would know if she's having an allergic reaction, because she kind of knows what an allergic reaction for her is, because they're different for everybody. Like, I get weird rashy hives. But when I started detoxing the very first time, I broke out, which is another common thing. Things that can happen when you're detoxing, you can break out. You can get, a lot of times people will get a torso rash. That's more common. Or they could feel a little bit like they have the flu. They don't normally get like a cold. It's more like flu-y types of symptoms. So, yes, it could result in joint pain, but normally it's not so specific to a common area unless it's low back. It's more typical to be like a flu-y thing, but that's more candida-ish, or fatigue-y, but that's a lot of times sugar coming down off of sugar, right, and caffeine. But if you're having like more of I drink this and then I get these hives, that's an allergic reaction. And, you know, there's always that outlier who has an allergic response to something. Could be the curcumin. It could be, you know, the sulforaphane. Who knows what it is? And so if we don't know, and I don't know what all she's taking, I would always say, hey, stop taking it. Try doing it without that, you know, and let's see how you're doing. but I don't know if she's using Metaclear SGS or Vagalite. Very unusual that Vagalite would have that kind of reaction. You would have that, you know, there's every once in a while there's someone who's sensitive to pea protein. It's like so rare, but it could happen. I had a friend who tested pea protein sensitivity, and it's like the lowest protein, it's the lowest sensitivity out there. But you could be. So, you know, we just have to check you with and without it to see. But I also don't know if she's taking detox packets, because if all you did was go through this and just use a shake and pull foods out, you're not going to have a big detox reaction, right? If you're using a detox packet along with it, that's going to start accelerating detoxification, right? If you start doing things like far infrared sauna, that'll take it up. But if all you did was pull out foods and add a shake, you're not going to start having all these detox responses. If you pull out soda and you know, sugar and caffeine, you'll start having, you know, withdrawals from going getting off of those. That's different, right? Does that all make sense?
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so also, Tara, if you or Tara, if you have any more information, just to tell us what you, what package you're on, what you're taking.
Yeah, let's
if you
find
want
out
to submit
because
that.
We would want to. If it is a product, then you always want to file an adverse, you know, event. We want to know. So let's.
Yeah. Cleanse at peertrainer.com. Well, JJ, thank you. I wanted to sort of zip through this because I know your time is, well, everybody's time is valuable, but I just wanted to be very cognizant about the fact that you're still, you know, at the hospital and all over and in the hotel, like you were saying.
Oh, my gosh. We'll have been at Harbor UCLA for 8 weeks. Who knew?
Yeah, I was, I, when you said 6 weeks prior, I was shocked that that was 6 weeks ago, actually. I sort of couldn't believe so much time had gone by. But thank you so much. Obviously, we'll get more questions, and if you have more questions, submit them. We'll answer them on the next Q&A. But, JJ, thanks again. Just the wealth of information. We're going to go through this. We're going to put in the store some of those things you said. We definitely don't have those as individual products, so we'll be able to have those for you based on, obviously, JJ's individual recommendations for so many of you. So, JJ, thanks again. So appreciate it. Always fantastic to talk to you.
Thank you, honey. See you.
Okay. Bye. Have a great day.